take your Bibles tonight. Go with me to the book of Proverbs. Book of Proverbs, chapter number 14. Proverbs chapter 14. And we'll read here. Then we're going to go to the book of Romans after that in the sermon. But Proverbs chapter number 14. I gave you the wrong title this morning when I said about this sermon. I think I said, what do we believe? And that's another sermon. And that's not what tonight's sermon is. Tonight's sermon is entitled this, What's Going On? What is going on? And I'm sure that's probably been a thought in our minds in these days. And we're going to find out from the Word of God something here tonight. Chapter number 14 of Proverbs, verse number 32 is where we'll begin reading. And we'll read down through verse number 35. I'll read 32. Join me on 33. We'll do these few verses here. The wicked is driven away in his wickedness, but the righteous hath hope in his death. Wisdom resteth in the heart of him that hath understanding, but that which is in the midst of fools is made known. Righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. The king's favor is toward a wise servant, but his wrath against him that causeth shame. I want you to notice verse 34. Righteousness exalteth what? Nation. But sin is reproach to any people. And I want to speak to you on this subject. What is going on? Let's ask the Lord to help us. Now, Father, thank you again for this time tonight. Again, thank you for folks that have come out. And on purpose, we made an effort to be here tonight. And there's a lot of things that are beckoning for our attention on a beautiful day like this. But I think the greatest thing that's beckoning our attention is you. Lord, I'm glad that tonight we decided to listen to you and follow your guidance and allowed us to be here in church tonight. I thank you, Lord, that we have a desire to be here. Oh, how sad it would be if we didn't have that desire. And Father, we just pray that you would bless now and help me as I preach. Give me clearness of mind, clearness in speech. Help us all to have a clear mind as we listen. Holy Spirit, I pray that you'll move amongst us tonight. Every one of us will do what we ought to do. And we'll thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. I'm so thankful tonight for the Bible. And when I say that, I'm talking about this King James Bible. Say that a lot, but I mean it a lot. And I don't want ever that to get old when we talk about this King James Bible. I sometimes get people when I order something on over the phone, and I call a company or something, and they'll always ask me, "So, what's your address?" And most of the time, people don't have a clue when I say King James Lane. They don't understand that. But I really enjoy the fact when I run into somebody who goes, "Oh, that's neat." And many times what they say is, did you get to choose that name? And I give them the story how that we did way before they had the 911 addresses out. And it was an RD2, and we just named it King James Lane. And thank the Lord when they did the update on the 911 addresses, they adopted that name, and so now it's King James Lane. It's an advertisement to everybody goes by about what we believe. It's a testimony of what we believe. And so I'm thankful for this Bible because it has all the answers to all the questions that man has. The question that I pose to us tonight is this, that we ask ourselves probably a lot, and even lost people, I'm sure, asking the question these days, what is going on? And there's a lot of lost people that are really, they scratch their head and wonder, what is happening? I mean, people that, you know, maybe not even saved, but they have some decency about them, and they wonder, what is happening? Why are things the way that they are today? And they wonder what's going on. And every direction that we look, we find that there's problems. And tonight, again, I'm not trying to depress you or anything. I'm just saying, folks, we need to. Here's what I fear: is we get used to the crazy, goofy stuff that's going on. We get used to the sin that's going on that it's not so bad anymore. I believe we need to be constantly reminded about that it's wrong. How many times I've said about the Sodomites, you know, that there's a lot of people today, it was a time when people thought, oh, how horrible that sin is, and now they say, well, I know some, it's all right. You may know some, you may know a drunk, but it doesn't make drunkenness okay. You may know an adulterer, but it doesn't make adultery okay. You might know a pedophile, but it doesn't make a pedophile okay because you know them. And I think we understand what I'm talking about there. But every direction we look, we find there's problems, and there's always has been. And, I mean, even from the there in the Garden of Eden, what happened? Sin came, and man sinned, and then was cast out of that Garden of Eden. And then what shortly happened? There was a murder, the first murder, where Cain and Abel, where Cain slew Abel. And that's a horrible thing to happen. I mean, it's horrible if someone would murder someone, but then to stop and think would murder their own brother. You know, how low is that? But sin will take you farther than you ever want to go. And so we look and we see that there's always been problems, but I believe we're living in very dark times now, and I have a concern, of course, for the world. I do. I think about the world, and we send missionaries all around the world. But I don't think this is wrong, but my major concern is about America. You know, I'm talking about our country. And I'm very, very concerned about what's happening and in our country. America has been called the melting pot of the world, where all different groups of people from different cultures and different people have come to America. And my wife were talking, I was AOC, I read a thing about her, what a crazy nut she is, amen? And she said that she has now found that she's been accepted as a sister to the indigenous people, the Indians. And they've called her a sister, and she's found out, she's been awakened to the fact that way back yonder, she's related to the Indians. You know what? AOC, what a dumb nut. We all want to go back real far. We're all related. You know, great grandpa and grandma, Adam and Eve. Did man come from any other place? No, God created man, and that was Adam and Eve, and we come. So you can brag about where your roots are at, but our roots go all the way back there. And so if you want to go back, remember Pocahontas, not the real Pocahontas, but the fake one up in New England. And remember what she said about how, and then got found out to be a stinking liar. And that shouldn't have shocked us because she was in Congress. But the thing is that we look and people say, well, you know, I'm part of that. I understand. I mean, thankful. Whatever your roots go back to has really nothing to do with anything other than if you want to brag about it. You know, but all of us too would have relatives that we wouldn't want to brag about, right? And you don't want to even talk about that part. But the thing is that all of us, at one time, our families came to America. I know back in my lineage, is it, or my background, German and Dutch, English, and a little bit of craziness, you know, all that rolled up into one, and I come from that, and that's all right. I'll be honest with you, I don't care whether I'm Dutch or German or anything else like that. I'm just glad to be an American. And I'm thankful that we have a country that we can come to, and it's a melting pot. But we understand this, that because of that, we are susceptible to a lot of things from other countries and other cultures. Now, I hope you'll bear with me on this, what I'm talking about here tonight. I think we all understand this, unless you're brain dead, that there is a difference in cultures. There's a difference. There's a difference in people of other lands. I mean, we know that. We know that God made a difference in people. If you go back to, in the Bible, Ham, Shem, and Japheth. That's where the races came from. I mean, very, very simple. God chose and made different races out of those boys. And they are different. And there's differences in this world, differences in culture. Now, again, what a blessing is, I'm glad that my people came to America. And I think you're probably glad your people came to America one day too. And so we're a melting pot. We all have all different kinds of backgrounds. I understand that. But the fact of the matter is, because of that, there's a lot of things that are brought into our country with the melting pot that we have. Things that are wrong. Culture, ideas that are wrong. You see, America was started by people who came from another country. But here's what I want you to get. They came to live with freedom to follow this book, the Word of God. Now again, I'm thankful for my relatives, Germans and the Dutch and whatever, you know, I'm thankful for all them. But I am thankful that there was somebody who came to America to establish this country upon this Bible. And so when I think about this, I think about America started out a lot different than other countries. And yet what happened, people have come to our country, and that's great. But here's what's happened. People have come to our country and said, hyphenated Americans. You've heard that before. I'm Afro-American, Hispanic-American. You know, what am I? You know, hillbilly American. The thing is, we're to be Americans. But here's what happened. We want that what we see happening, I believe, in America is holding on to the cultures of a lost place and coming. And America is not a saved place, but America was founded upon this book. And so America started out we had a wonderful birth, I believe, because of the Word of God. And then what happened? Those people came from other countries to America, but what did they bring? They brought the Word of God. Now, again, I'm thankful for other cultures and other nationalities that came to America and for things that they brought. I'm thankful Italians came to America. I love pizza. I'm thankful the Greeks came to America. You may call them gyros, I call them gyros. And I like those things that wrapped up lamb meat, I'm telling you, is as good as can be, probably as unhealthy as can be, but so what, we'll die happy. And the Chinese, they brought chicken made out of cat. And so we could go all over town and we can eat of people that are from different nationalities. They bring their things. I'm fine with that. I grew up in Chicago. There was Chinatown. You could go there and all the Chinese folks lived there and all the restaurants. You can go to the Italian area there and all the Italian restaurants and all the Greeks, the same thing. I mean, it was just all kinds of. And then the Jews came too, and what did they have? They had all the clothing stores. I mean, just everyone put together, and there's nothing wrong with those things, but the thing is, they not only brought their different types of cultures, but many brought different gods. There's only one true God. And now I think what we see happening, they brought other gods, and we stop and think our nation was not founded on Allah, right? You know, we really understood that at 9/11. You know, we got soft. But our nation was not found on Allah. Our nation was not found on some of these other gods there. Our nation was found on the God of heaven, the God of this King James Bible. And the fact of the matter is, there always has been other gods. But I read a thing not long ago, a statement that the world has said. They said this: remember, our strength is in our diversity. We hear a lot of diversity now, don't we? They say our strength is in our diversity. Wait a minute. That's not what the Bible says. We just read what our strength is. Did you notice that in Proverbs? Verse 34 of chapter 14 says, righteousness exalteth a nation. Doesn't say diversity exalts a nation. Righteousness exalts a nation. Righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is reproach to any people. We have celebrated the diversity instead of what really matters, and that's righteousness. You know, it's not about that diversity, it's about the righteousness. And I look at our country today, and you know, just this afternoon I got my phone and I went online to look at, read some of the news. I'll tell you what, that is a really troubling thing anymore. One thought came to my mind, same thing as I was studying for the message here, was this: our country's become pretty much a jungle. Amen. It's pretty much a jungle out there today. What's going on in our world today? Danger everywhere. No respect for anybody or anything. Just read, of course, in Philadelphia last night, there was a bunch of shooting going on. People shooting into a crowd. Who in their right mind shoots into a crowd? Someone full of evil. I read where down in Tennessee today, there was another shooting. And again, oh, those old bad guns don't do it. It's those bad fingers that pull those guns. Those people that have no respect for life. And hey, you know what? How can we accept, how can they have respect for life when our government and our schools are saying it's all right to kill little babies? There's no respect for life. And so they get all up in arms when someone goes and shoots in a crowd. And now all of a sudden they want to punish everybody who is living by the law. When the problem is unrighteousness. Righteousness exalteth a nation. You see, the fact of the matter is, God has given us a whole chapter in the Bible about what's going on. Romans chapter number 1. Go there with me, please. God gives us a whole chapter here that tells us what the cause of corruption in society is. And I believe it applies to America. I believe it applies not only to America, but every country. Our kids today, I think, and I'm going to get to this chapter here in a moment, but our kids today are being taught everything. They're being taught everything, but few kids are even adults don't know what Romans chapter 1 says. And boys and girls, I want you to listen to this. I want teenagers to listen to this. I want every adult to listen to this. They say, well, I'm too far in life, it really doesn't matter. Boy, I'd hate to live the latter years of my life thinking it doesn't matter. Why don't you forget about yourself and start thinking about those around you? Again, it's pretty much a jungle anymore. You got jungle music, jungle morals. When I say that, no marriage, just have relations with anyone or anything you want. A jungle mentality. You know, we talk about the heathen, right? That's what's in America going on today. And what we've seen the ideals being by man because of man's wickedness infesting, if you will, in America. Now we Christians, we need to understand this. We could be just as bad as the rest of them. Righteousness exalteth a nation. But even our sin is a reproach. Romans chapter 1, verse number 28 says this: and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. You ever wonder why churches are so empty? There's the answer. Even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Now, I'm not sure if you know what reprobate means, but reprobate means this: abandoned to sin, lost to virtue or grace. Now, do you know America is pretty much a mental institution run by the inmates? Crazy. Crazy what's happening. And, you know, you wonder, you say, and this is what we do. We say sometimes, well, I wonder at the fact, I mean, has people lost their mind? You want to know the answer to that? Yeah. Man's lost his mind. So how can you say that? Well, listen to this. 2 Timothy 1:7, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. God gives us a sound mind. Well, let's see then. Who do you think gives a mind of corruption? Satan. Is it a mind of corruption that would go into a school in Texas and kill a bunch of children? Yeah. It wasn't the AR. It was a corrupt mind. The people in Philadelphia, it shot into that crowd. And by the way, you look at a lot of these shootings, they're outside of bars. What happens? They do the shooting there, and what was it? Was it the fault of that? They said it was a handgun with a extended magazine. No, it was a corrupt mind. What mind, what righteous mind would say fire into a group of people? Really? What righteous mind would think that? Only a corrupt mind. A corrupt mind. We could go on and on with all the different stories, and we could talk about all the horrible things that happened. I mean, think about this again. Who could sit in Congress and say, we demand that women could kill their babies? A corrupt mind. We're so used to it, though, we don't see it. Who could say, we ought to have a right for men to marry men and men to do unseen things to other men and women to marry women and do unseen things to women? How can we say something like that? It's not a righteous mind. It's a corrupt mind. We are seeing exactly what God said he would do. Not because God's bad, because God's good, but because of man, what he's decided. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. That's why it bothers me about Christians today. And we get to a place where the things of God means very little. Where the house of God means so little. And our Bibles mean so little. That we're not even willing to retain God in our knowledge. Live in troubled times. We really are. Most of us remember when we went to school, we learned how to read and write. They didn't even call it math then, did they? They called it arithmetic. Remember that? Boy, what a wonderful thing. Learn how to read. Spelling. I wasn't real thrilled about it, but I thought it was pretty neat to learn how to spell words. Learn how to read something. How to add numbers together. Remember how it was? And I know what the kids, sometimes they go, I know what 2 + 2 is. They're all excited because they've learned some arithmetic. And then learning how to multiply. And then they put the algebra in, which is the stupidest thing I've ever seen. Those poor people for years have been looking for X and they still have not found it. But you know, back then, that's what we learned in school. Now the kids are learning what pronouns to use. They want the kids to know what pronouns are available to them. They want the little boys and girls, I'm talking preschool, kindergarten, first, second, third grade. Let me tell you something, it's wrong even for the 12th graders. Trying to teach them, you decide what you are. Don't tell your mommy and daddy I'm talking to you about this. Let me tell you something, any adult that says don't tell your mommy and daddy is somebody to run from. But now kids are taught all these things, and I begin to think, who's behind all that? And then it hits me, and I think, man, this troubles me. It's adults. Who's after these kids today? It's adults. Where did these adults come from? They came from universities. They keep coming up talking about how the universities have gone so far left and are so wicked in their ideas. I remember, and many of us in this room, remember when all of a sudden they had dormitories that they were allowing boys and girls to stay in the same dormitories? We couldn't believe it was happening. We thought it was the end of the world. Now look what's happening. And so those college graduates, they brought their garbage from their university. And like a garbage truck, they dumped it on the children and even in the preschool kids. It's happening in all the grades. Just saw, read it today. Pizza Hut. We used to, at the school, we used to have the Pizza Hut reading program. Kids read books and they get a coupon for Pizza Hut. And we stopped that. It was a couple years ago. I think a couple years ago we stopped that because Pizza Hut was going really crazy about stuff. Listen to this one. Pizza Hut came out with one of the books for their reading program. The reading book is called, I think it's My Wig or something like that. It's a drag book. I'm not talking drag racing. I'm talking about men dressing up like women. Amen. That's what I'm talking about. Guess what grade it's for? Kindergarten. They'll tar and feather those folks. And you know what? There are people that will say it's their right to do it. I don't believe it's their right to corrupt our kids. You know, somebody molested a child, they get arrested. Let me tell you something. They're molesting our children with their stupid, idiotic stuff today. I think moms and dads need to think about how they raise their children so our kids can know what is wrong and what is right. I go to houses tonight, out soul winning, and I go and I see houses with every toy that is available. You see all the stuff that the kids have, and I think about those children, and yet what happens when you talk to the parents? They don't go to church, their kids don't go to Sunday school, and I'm thinking, what hope is there for those kids? Because what they do when they go to school, they may even go to school around here, and I'll tell you what, probably is not as bad as other places, but I'll tell you what they do right here in our area too. They still teach the kids about evolution. See, there again, evolution isn't so bad anymore because we got these really way out stuff too. Evolution saying no God. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. That's what God said. That's what evolution says. We don't want anything with God. We don't retain God in our knowledge. So let's teach our children there is no God. Those same children grew up and went to a university. Again, no God. So they became their own gods. And they began to worship at the feet of those teachers in the universities. And now they come up with the crazy ideas to think that they would give a book to little children like that. But you go to these houses and the kids, they've got all the toys, but they don't have church. Please don't misunderstand me. There's some good folks in the school system. I believe there's some good folks that teach in the school system. But I'll tell you what, the majority of the school systems in America today are nothing more than satanic churches. You know, most parents would not send their children to a satanic church. And yet the teaching of Satan, and that's what this garbage is taught to our kids in the public school system today. They teach our children to have an open mind to everything. So, well, you can't tell the kids that that little girl's really a girl. She has to have an open mind to decide what she is. They tell them to have an open mind about everything except the infallibility of the Word of God. Have the child get up and say, I believe the Bible. I believe that God's Word is infallible. What happens? They laugh at him and say, oh, forget about this. You know what you're talking about. Now, you call that girl over there a them. Crazy. So the kids are dropping out or graduating from our school systems today with no moral foundation. No moral foundation. You know, it's a sad, sad thing today. What is accepted as normal. Now, here's the thing. Where did these things come from? It came as what I believe a lot of the problem is this. People have no looking. They never look to God. They have no feelings for God. They've got their other God, and they come to a land and bring their false teachings. And we say, you know what? We just need to make sure everything's all right, no matter who's here. I'm thankful. I believe all folks ought to be welcome here. But it's kind of like in church. Anybody can come to church, but I tell you right now, dead sure not going to teach anything but this Bible here. They're welcome to be able to come to a school down here if they will sign a paper saying, I believe this Bible here. Romans chapter 1, verses 22 and 23, look what it says. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Notice what they did, verse 23, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man. And birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Do you ever hear these idiots say, the man upstairs? You know who they're talking about. Why? They have no respect for God. I have a feeling every one of us in this room have heard God's name in front of the word D-A-M-N. No respect for God. You say, I have respect for God. Why aren't you in church? God said, not forsake the assembling of yourselves together as a manner of some is. Amen. Now, I understand sometimes we're sick. But I don't understand this Christianity today that, I remember there was a guy, he loved me. He just didn't come to church. I remember one day I was in the doctor's office and he was there. And he was loud. He was in there and he says, oh, Pastor Mark, I'm so glad to see you. And he's telling people, say, listen, you go to church, you ought to go to his church. I'm thinking, you stinking hypocrite, why don't you come to my church? You sit at church on Sunday morning. Listen, I still believe this on my heart. Every Christian ought to be in church on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. You say, well, you know, I don't really see in the Bible where it says Wednesday nights. Well, it says that when the church meets, everybody ought to be there for the meeting. And you mean to say that mowing grass is more important than being in church? You mean to say a TV program is more important than going to church? Hello? Professing themselves to be wise, became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like the corruptible man. God understands. Why? Because you think you understand. I don't see anything wrong with it. Well, that's good then. No. They've changed God in the image made like unto corruptible man into birds and a four-footed beast and creeping things. Our kids today know how to take selfies. They know how to chat with people by typing parts of words. I read a text message, and I've done this myself. You know, instead of writing Y-O-U, I put U. I don't know all the stuff. I tell you what, you know, it's a sad thing that kids know all these things, but they couldn't tell you, they couldn't name two disciples. They couldn't find Genesis in the Bible. Not our kids, praise the Lord. I put these kids up against most other kids in the world. Amen. Kids today grow up knowing how to cuss, how to drink, how to fornicate. Oh, where do they learn that from? Well, a lot of times they learn from mom and dad. I remember one time going home from Bible school, driving down that lane in the back of the van. This one little kid, I think he was in kindergarten or preschool. I heard the most foul language coming out of his mouth. And I thought, you know what? His mom and dad need to be beaten. Amen. Teach them. You say, well, I don't believe they got there and said, now here, sons, how you say a bad word. They learned the bad word because dad, when he got mad, used the bad words. They know how to do all those things. They know how to play all the games and spend hours doing it while the parents have allowed them to do it, bought the games for them to do it. And I'm not against playing any games. I'm saying this, a child plays more games than they're playing outside, there's a problem. And you better be careful what games the kids play. That's why a lot of kids, some kids up there, they're where we used to live there, Woodbury. Killed that girl. The girl used to sit in the church right back over here. Killed her. You know what they did? They wanted to find out what it felt like to kill somebody. Because they played the games about murder. Don't tell me it doesn't affect. And we're a bunch of dumb bunnies sometimes. I think we sit with our heads in the sand thinking it's not going to matter. Our kids matter and we get one chance to raise them. I thought about, maybe you saw the video of it came out there about the 16-year-old boy, about that woman. She had a little baby in her stroller. She's in California going down the street. No sidewalk there. All of a sudden this car runs around and then comes over and then veers right into her and hits her. Have you seen the video? It's scary. And it's amazing. I believe God took care of them. The woman went up in the air. The stroller went up in the air. The baby was fine. The woman only had a scratch on her elbow. But that kid took his car into them. And thank the Lord, there was a guy in a Ram. Thank the Lord for Rams. And he did what was on the front of that truck. He rammed that kid and busted his car up and stopped him. And they got him 16 years old, drunk, driving a stolen car. And what did those idiots in California do? They gave him a few months in camp. He tried to kill him. You know what my question is? I mean, Gascon, I think is his name out there, that idiot. But you know, I think about that man and how horrible he is and just giving the guy a slap on the wrist. And I'm thinking, where was that kid's mom and dad? Other than he have, you know, 16 years old, you still ought to be able to have a rein on a kid. Oh, but maybe they were making money. Now what happens to kids today demanding everything and demanding from their parents and from the government? I hate to bring up this person again, but AOC is one of them. She says, well, I think that everybody ought to pay for my student loans. She drives a Tesla. She's got loads of money. She wants us to pay her loan over my dead body. I think, you know how sad it is, but there's a bunch of young people today saying, we want the government to pay our loans. I don't know about you, but I think I have to pay the loans I took out. I mean, years ago, I had to take a loan out to pay my taxes every year. I had to pay the loans off. I never went to a loan company and said, you know, call the president. You had to do it yourself. Now what happens is we think that everything is owed to us. Now again, I'm not here trying to depress you tonight, although some of the things that I'm saying this evening is very depressing. But I'm being honest with you tonight too. I'm not really sure if things will turn around. I mean, for the longest time I've been thinking, you know, I believe, you know, and I believe that God can do something. But I also know this, that God said that he gave them over. And we're getting to a place where so many have been given over. How could a nation stand? I think maybe the only thing that's going to help us is for the rapture to take place. I look forward to that. Colossians 1:27 says, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Titus 2:13, looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. You know, there's not a problem that couldn't be solved by the rapture. Amen. You know, AOC, she can go there. I'm telling you what, after the rapture, try to get all those lost people to pay your bills. Hey, you know, homosexuals, they want to have the house, and they want to have their boyfriend come over and live with them. You can have it because that's the best you're ever going to have. You're going to burn in hell over that sin. Amen. I said, preacher, that's kind of rough. Well, that's what God said. God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Verse 32 says, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. You look at it, they flaunt their sin. It's a jungle. But I believe what is needed is this, a return to the Bible. I know it was a long time ago, but there was a time in America when people came to this country because of this book, because of the God of this book. And I believe what America needs is a return to this book. Sad thing is, I don't think the world is going to do it. But here's something sadder. I'm wondering if the church is going to do it. Return to the Lord. Churches are canceling Sunday nights. You know why? For the very problem we have. Less. Churches are canceling Wednesday nights and Sunday nights and not having Sunday school. Only way they can get people to come is to have a service and then a meal afterwards. And boy, that brings even Baptists out. Wouldn't it be something if we could find a meal on the Word of God? There needs to be the people of God returning to the Bible of God. Our society has plenty of influence, but the sad thing is, much of it is the wrong influence. There are people today on the internet, they're called influencers. They understand what they're doing. They do weird things trying to influence it on other young people. And young people are trying some of those things. They get in all kinds of problems because of the influencers. Wouldn't it be something if we could influence boys and girls for Jesus Christ? You know, we're going to be having Bible school here shortly in the first week of August. You know what we can do? We can help influence some boys and girls. If we would look around and find some boys and girls that we can bring to our Bible school. I mean, we know we got cousins, we got our nieces and nephews, we've got grandkids and all kinds of kids around that we might be able to influence. Why don't we influence the kids for the Lord Jesus Christ? Why, they've got all the internet to influence them on everything wrong. We need to influence them. We need to pray. 1 Timothy 2:1 says, I exhort therefore that first of all supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving thanks be made for all men. 1 Timothy 2:2 says, verse 2 says, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in godliness and honesty. I've never seen a time when the leaders of our country is pushing everything that's contrary to the Word of God. I'm telling you what, there's not much going on with the Republicans that I'm proud of, but I'll tell you dead sure, there's not a thing I'm proud of in the Democrats. I'm kind of adopting a new word for them, calling them the Democrats. You say, well, I am a Democrat. Well, bless your heart, does an altar get right with God? Listen to what they stand for. You say, you're not to be political. I'm not being political, I'm being spiritual. We look at what our president's done. So much to destroy America. And I'm not talking about the gas prices, although I'm like, hello. I'm talking about his speaker now. What's the woman comes out there? Well, press secretary, lesbian. And they're proud of it. Because of the skin color and her sexuality. I don't believe you have people because of those two things. It's how we got a vice president. And I think if you look now, the one in charge of transportation, sodomite. Listen to some of the others, and I'm like, you know, I mean, what is going on? You say, but preacher, they're really smart in a certain area. Let me tell you something, they're evil in certain areas too. I know this isn't politically correct, but I don't come here to be politically correct. I come here to be honest with you. And we have all of Romans chapter 1. I didn't take the time to read it all to you. But if you go through Romans chapter number 1, you see what God said here. But we started out by saying, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God. These are some people that knew who God was. Now they don't glorify him. I've got family members who used to go to church. They don't go to church anytime now. None. They knew what it was like. And they knew about separation. Now they go out for beers. They suck their cigarettes. I'm not proud of that. And the sad thing is, they know better. But let's not keep God in our mind. Let's not keep God in our mind. So what can we do about the situation? Well, we can sit here and gripe about it, but that won't do a thing. Just four things I want to read off to you, we'll be done. One of the things we can do is live a life pleasing to the Lord. Live a life pleasing to the Lord. Secondly, we can share our faith with others. There are plenty of folks out there lost. They don't know. Number three, we need to be praying for our nation, for our leaders. It would be great if Biden gets saved. AOC gets saved. All the rest of them in Washington get saved. And then we can train up our children the way they should go. Amen. Stop sacrificing them to the public school education. We started out the message by asking the question, what's going on? And tonight I spent the time telling you what is going on. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, thank you so much again for this time tonight. Lord, I know I could preach a lot of more happier sermons than this, but Lord, I believe that we need to wake out of sleep and understand what hour we're living in right now. I know that maybe even some in this room are thinking, well, I'll just go home to my house and shut the door and I'm okay, me and my spouse, we're fine. Lord, help us to understand there's more than just us. And our nation's gotten such a mess because we've just wrapped ourselves in ourselves and not tried to reach a world. We've let the world raise our kids. We've let the world guide us in what we should do. We've let the world tell us that the main thing is making money. And now we look and we shake our heads and wonder what's going on. Well, Romans 1 tells us. Lord, help us to wise up tonight. I pray for our country tonight. I love America. I'm glad that people came to America. But Father, I believe that people need to remember this. They've come to one nation under God, not one nation under Allah, not one nation under Buddha. They came to a nation that's under God. God, so many things in the old wicked world people bring to this country, and even Americans have adopted so many evil things where it's not much different than a wild jungle today. God, help us. God, help us all tonight to do our part, and for our families, for our church, and for our nation. Our heads bowed, our eyes closed. Maybe tonight, if you're not sure you're saved, in a moment you come, we'll show you in the Bible how to be saved. The Christian, tonight, has God spoken to your heart about some things? You know what? We need to mean business with God. You may have been in church here tonight, but you're only here in body, maybe. You sat here. If I ask you some questions about the sermon, you might not be able to answer any. Or maybe you listened to a lot of things because I gave you some startling things tonight. But you know what? We ought to be listening just as much as if we were talking about anything else in the Bible too. It's a time for us to mean business for the Lord. Because dead sure the devil means business today. Father, I pray you'll speak to us this evening, an invitation. I pray your will be done. We might do what we're supposed to. Father, help us to be mindful of the way we live our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.